We usually have a, we end up with a theme. Have you guys noticed that? We kind of year by year, and it may, that's all related, of course. So, you know, for us to look ahead and say that what our theme for 2013 will be, what God will deal with us on, that's a, you know, we have to be careful in stating those things too strongly. But we can have vision. We can have direction. We can have plans. And so this is what I've been asking for. I've been asking for vision, for direction, for 2013. So whether you recognize it or not, whether you accept it even or not, this affects you. When I pray this prayer, it directly affects you because you are us. We are in this together. And God deals with us, not just individually, but He deals with us as a body. And so, if He's calling us to certain things, this body, then He's calling you to certain things. And while we don't have the details of a plan, and we're working those things, we're thinking through those things, and we do have some direction, and we won't get into all those things today. But I do believe a theme is unfolding. And you will probably say, well, that's always been your theme. Well, maybe so. But I still believe that we have a theme, a direction unfolding for 2013. And you've probably already tasted of that. And as we have, you know, my desire, if I could accomplish, if I could see God accomplish in us, this is a rare thing. It should not be rare. But what I'm asking for and where I believe we are headed is a rare thing indeed. And that is that each of us would become disciple makers. Because to be a disciple is to be a disciple maker. And there's some challenging sides to that. And there's some details that need to be worked out. But I believe that we as a church are poised and prepared to do this. We have talked about these things and we've studied them in depth. And we hope to put some tools in your hands even to help you take another step, the next step, to make disciples. Now we cannot and we won't attempt to plan out every detail. You know, the best things it seems that happen. Don't you notice you never plan those things? You know, I didn't plan the day I was going to meet my wife. I didn't plan that. God was working that out. And He's working so many of the good and the great things that happen to us. God's doing that. And we don't have any, we can plan all we want. And God has better things in store for us. Yet, we are called to prepare and to have vision. And so, while we're not forcing that, we're not saying we have to have that down by the time the new year rolls in. But yet, I would like to give us some general principles to what God has called us to in 2013. And you may not have noticed, but we are missing people today. But we also have lost some people. And we've lost some critical, some key people. Some people that carry some of the load. And, you know, it's not that I'm asking you to say, okay, Carlton's going to be gone, so somebody has to exactly fill his shoes. That's not generally the way that God works. What He does is He just empowers you to be all that He called you to be. And it's something that we haven't even experienced yet. And so we are going to be calling on you in 2013. We are going to be asking you to step up because there are some roles that need to be filled. And I believe God is preparing us to do that. But still, here's the deal I think we can all agree on. We are called to be followers of Christ. Would you just acknowledge that in your mind? Are you called? Has Jesus called you to be a follower of Him? You know, our tendency to say, some people will want to say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't know about that follower of Jesus. No, they're one and the same. Have you been called to be a follower of Christ? And I think we can agree on this next point. True followers of Christ make disciples. If you disagree, I'd really like to hear it. Maybe not right now, but you know, maybe you have a legitimate discussion, a disagreement on this. But I think I'm going to win the argument. Okay, I'll just warn you ahead of time. I've got a lot of verses. If you are a follower of Christ, you've been called to follow Him. You have also been called to make disciples. True followers of Christ make disciples. How does this happen? How can we plan and prepare and do it? Now, like I said, I think some pieces are falling into place for us. Some specific plans to help you take the next step. Now, disciple making may not be where you start, but if you follow the road that we are talking about, the path we are talking about this morning, then I'm sure it's where you'll end up. I'm sure it's where you'll end up to be a disciple maker. And this is where the new year thing comes in. And you know how I've told you this before. I love the new year. I love fresh starts. And you know, for this 2013, I don't think the only thing Jesus is asking of you is that you rearrange your whole life and follow Him. That's all He's asking. That you would rearrange your whole life and take on His mission and put Him at the center of your life. And we've seen, and we'll see it intertwined in many of the verses today, is that to follow Jesus is to take on His mission. Now, it's easier to pretend that you're following Christ when you don't share your plans and dreams and visions with others. They just remain in your head. But when you share what God is calling you to with others, then it brings a little accountability. It brings a little motivation to follow through. So I would encourage you, if you have not stopped to think, I just would encourage you to stop and think of what it means to you to be a follower of Christ. What does that mean to you? What does that mean in your life? What does that look like? I also gave you the option, some of you have taken it, of emailing me and telling me what your plan is. What's your plan? So you can think about that for 2013. Just to share, what is your plan for following Christ in 2013? So, what I want from us and what we're going to look at today is what it looks like to follow Jesus. And really, what it looks like, we are called, I'm called, and you are called to walk like Jesus walked. When He said, come and follow me, He was asking them to walk like He walked. Now, we're going to look up a lot of verses today. And that's the way, from what I saw on the outline, you had a lot of verses last week. So I don't know if you looked all those up or if you had them on the screen, but we're going to look up a lot of verses today. So, and if I was thinking ahead enough, I would have put them. It didn't occur to me just now that I could have put them up here, but we might have been in trouble if I had planned on doing that, haven't we, Ken? But I'm not in the desert anymore. I'm thankful for that. So, to walk as Jesus walked. What does it mean? What does it look like? What does it mean to you? That's really where we are today. What does it mean for you to follow Jesus in 2013? What does that mean for you? So let's just get started here. Let's go to 1 John 2:6. Like I said, we're gonna hit a lot of verses, so that'll take a little bit of our time is looking up the verses. 1 John 2:6. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. You know, sometimes when I say something, it doesn't quite have the impact. But when we read it in God's Word, you say, oh, whoa, he wasn't just making that up. We must walk as Jesus walked. John, the Gospel of John, John 10:27. Now, there's a Bible under the chair in front of it if you don't have one. But I would encourage you. If you can, we'll try to move fast, but if you'll look up these verses. John 10, or at least later on. John 10:27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And John 12:24. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now, I hope, as we're reading these verses, that you're grabbing these. And we're dependent on the Holy Spirit to make them come alive to you. So what happens when you follow Jesus? We've already seen one thing that happens. When you follow Jesus, you live like Jesus. You take on some of Jesus, His character, His mission, His purpose. When we follow Jesus, people will see a connection that we have to God. This is what I've seen. This has been my experience. Is that when you truly are a follower of Christ, that means you have intimacy. You have a relationship with Him. He says you hear His voice. You hear His voice. You hear from God. God answers your prayer. People want to know about somebody that hears from God. Do you see, we have the only God that actually responds and answers prayer. There's only one God that does that. There are many false gods around the world. There's only one God that responds. We hear His voice. He hears our voice. He answers our prayer. We have a connection to God. And when that connection is true and when it's real, people will see that in us. We'll have power and we will have peace more than this life has to offer. And people will see that distinction and they'll want to know about it. Sir, we would see Jesus. They want to see Jesus. If we would follow Jesus, it would require a level, a new level, an extreme level of acknowledging our own hopelessness and then responding in God dependence. Do you recognize that even as Jesus walked this earth, He walked as helpless as any human being? He walked as a helpless human being because He walked in full dependence on the Father. And if we would follow Jesus, then we would walk like this. We would have this kind of relationship with the Father, and we would be aware, intimately aware of our weakness. Now, many times what this will lead to is repentance, because we will recognize that we are walking in our own strength. Now, you may be walking around depressed. If you're walking around depressed, and your eyes are on yourself, and you're just, life is just terrible, you're walking in your own strength. But if you're walking around and you're having success and you're feeling good about yourself, you still may be walking in your own strength. It's a different game to walk in the strength that God gives us. We walk in fellowship with Him. So let's take a quick look at how Jesus walked. 1 John 4:16. And we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Now, one thing that we can be sure of is that God loved the Son. But in the same way, God loves us. And we have this opportunity to walk and depend on His love. God is sovereign. He's all powerful. And He loves us with an extreme love. In our daily life, our minute by minute, we can walk in dependence and reliance on this sovereignty and on this love. Is that He loves us, He's making a way for us, He's working it out, and He's working out the best. He loves us. John 8:28. Gospel of John. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases Him. Even as He spoke, many put their faith in Him. So this is how Jesus walked, in helplessness and in full-on dependence on God. If you would walk with Jesus, if you would follow Him, then you will abide in Him. John 15, 4 and 5. Remain in me, or I think it gives a full understanding of that word to see it translated remain. I like the more poetic of abide, but the two are saying the same. Remain or abide in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must abide in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains or abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. To abide in Christ is to live in fellowship with Jesus. Moment by moment, fellowship. To live in dependence on Him. Now, some of you, as we talk about this, making disciples, some of your response may be, you're asking me to make disciples? If I was really honest with you, Steve, I would confess my life is a mess. My family's a mess. Most of my relationships are a mess. But you know what? We all end up there if we do not walk in fellowship with Jesus. Without Jesus, our homes, our families, our relationships will end up being a mess. Guaranteed. Now, we may hold it together. You know, there's marriages and there are families out in the world that hold it together. They maintain. They have long marriages and all that. May have fairly decent. But you know, when I see a family interacting together, picture a family when you were a kid going on vacation. Where did it almost always end up? I don't mean Yellowstone or wherever, but where did it end up? It ended up with arguing and bickering, didn't it? Isn't that where you, oh, be quiet back there. Oh, but he stole my side of the car. Oh, I'm going to have to stop it. You know, what? That's where, well, without Jesus, that's where we end up. That's where we end up. Husband and wife, when they get old, where do they end up? They don't even like each other anymore. They don't even like each other anymore. You might be there now, already. Without Jesus, but you say, I have Jesus. You may have Him, but you're not abiding. I don't know if those two go together or not. You figure that part out. Walking in fellowship with Him. Sometimes it's constant childlike prayer. You know what I mean by this? Have you ever been, help me, I can't do this. Help me, Jesus, I can't do this. Oh, God, help me, I'm weak, I can't do this. Give me strength. Give me strength. So, in fact, the abiding life is the prayer life. Learning to pray is learning to be more dependent. Prayer is not so much climbing a mountain as it is getting off the throne. You getting off the throne of your life. That is what. It's, you know, prayer life is not about discipline. You say, well, if I had more discipline, I could pray. No, that's not it. If you are more God-dependent, you would pray. That is what it is. If you get off the throne of your life, then you would pray because you would feel helpless. Put Jesus on the throne and you will then depend on Him and you will find that you will live like Jesus lived. No word except from the Father. Constant dependence. Constantly aware of my weakness, but my strength in Christ. Your prayers will grow from just being survival and seeking peace to help me, Jesus. Help me, God. To show the love of Christ to this person. Reveal yourself to them. Help me to know how to reach out to them. Help me to be willing to sacrifice for them. How can I reach them? What is it about them that they need? You see, there's been a transition there, just since we were talking here. A transition to no longer just surviving, but sharing the desires of Christ in another person's life that flows out of abiding in Christ and God dependence. If you walk with Jesus, your prayers will be answered. If you follow Jesus, your prayers will be answered. John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Answered prayer. If you've ever noticed when you've been abiding in Christ for a length of time, when you're following Jesus, you'll notice that your prayers get answered. Your prayers on a regular basis. You know what happens when your prayers get answered? Then you see God more clearly. He reveals Himself to you. And this thing becomes this growing relationship of talking to God and God talking to you, of God responding and answering your prayers, and you gaining the heart of Christ and seeing Him more clearly, abiding in Christ, Him answering your prayer. It works together. Followers of Jesus become disciple makers. Followers of Jesus have their prayers answered. It works that way. Chapter 16, verse 24 of John. You know, if you're going through a trial, now sometimes you'll say, well, you know, I've asked God to get me out of this and He hasn't got me out of it. I follow Him. He's not answering my prayer. You know, when you follow Jesus, sometimes He does take you, the trail goes through some dark places and you don't understand what's going on. And there may even be tragic things. And you don't understand what's going on. And your prayer, you know, for God to answer our prayer, He says we must be praying with His motives, not with selfish motives. And there can be things in our life that prevent our prayers from being answered. For instance, if a husband is not treating his wife with respect, if he's not treating his wife with kindness, then his prayers will not be answered. That will hinder his prayers. We're told that specifically. If there's sin in your life, then those things need to be dealt with. But if you are in an abiding relationship and following Christ, your prayers will be answered. But sometimes even when you're abiding in Christ, it could be that you're saying, oh, God, get me out of this. Change this. And He's going, I will. I will. But this is what you need right now. This is what you need. This trial is giving you perseverance. It's shaping you and conforming you to my image. And I know that's your real desire. You want to be conformed to my image. But God answers prayer. When you are walking with Jesus, He answers prayer. I'd like to go over briefly to Isaiah 58. I was going to just let you read this one on your own. We're not going to. Sometimes we can fool ourselves. And I just want to give a warning here, I guess. Isaiah 58, 2. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of God. They ask me for just decisions. They seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and have you not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you not noticed? Yet on the day of fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. You see what was happening is their prayers would not be answered because they were not considerate of the poor. Their prayers were not answered because they were living for themselves, not for God. And God was saying, I'm not answering your prayer. I'm not hearing you. You see, it goes back. When we are following Christ, when we are abiding in Him, and we are truly surrendered, and He's answering our prayer, and people see this connection we have to God, and there's a power, and there's a peace in our life, and people want to know about Jesus. There will be open doors. Do you see how this all works together? And you will make disciples, and you will bear fruit if you're a true follower of Christ. If you're walking with Him and following Him and abiding in Him, doors will open. Your prayers will be answered. In James 5:17, we won't go there, but it talks about, I think that's the one, it talks about Elijah. Was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3 years. He prayed in earnest. You know, this strikes me as, this is not about, I think we do need to have some extended times of prayer with God, and just where we get alone with, but you know what, this is not really talking about how long your prayers are. This is talking about your stand, where you are with God. This is talking about your walk with God, of where you are with Him. Are you abiding in Him? Doesn't have to be some kind of lengthy prayer. It could be prayers that are just whispered up. God, open this door. God, find a way. God, speak to this person. And God answers our prayer. You'll find that your prayer life will become a relationship with Him. You'll begin to watch for answered prayer because you know that God hears you and He loves you and you have His mission in mind and you're waiting for a response. It may be a long way, but you're still waiting. You're looking. You're watching. Isaiah 64:4. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you who acts on behalf of those who wait for Him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. When we are walking with God, we have access to the Ancient One, Eternal of Days, God the Creator. Do you not think people will perceive some of that and notice that? That this person knows God and is connected to God. And God hears their prayer. He will reveal Himself to you in surprising ways. He will reveal Himself to you and you will know Him more as you walk with Jesus. If you are walking with Jesus, you will obey. You will obey. Not just not sinning. That's part of it. But also taking action, making disciples, investing your life in others. John 14:15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. If you are walking in God's love, you will obey His commands. You will love God's Word, and you will obey God's Word. When you're walking with Jesus, now I know people that are not walking with Jesus that love God's Word. They love to study and they love theology. But if you're walking with Jesus, you'll not only love God's Word, you'll love to obey God's Word. James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law and gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. This is one who is following Jesus. If you follow Jesus, you will abide in Him. If you follow Jesus, you will bear fruit. John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains or abides in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And verse 8. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. If you follow Jesus, He will go with you. I know that sounds like redundant. But there is just a special promise there. In following Jesus and taking on His mission and obeying Him, He has a special promise. He will go with us. John 15:15. Listen to that in this verse. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. He's speaking of the intimacy here of following Him, of taking on His mission. There is a special intimacy reserved for those that are taking on the mission of Christ, that are taking to heart the command to make disciples. A servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And then, Matthew 28, which we are very familiar with, but the emphasis being on the last statement there. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. He will go with you. If you follow Jesus, you will know God and you will love Him, and He will become your greatest joy. John 15, 9 through 11. I think we just read that, didn't we? As the Father has loved me, remember this idea of forsaking all, of following Christ, of what comes with that. This knowing God, loving Him, finding your joy, a joy unspeakable that you find in Him. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And then Psalm 27:4. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to seek Him in His temple. You know what this is talking about. It's not talking about going to a church building. It's talking about going to the temple where the presence of God was. This desire for God's presence. This desire to follow Jesus that grows the more that we follow Him. This genuine, deep love for God and getting our joy, our satisfaction in Him. If you follow Jesus, you see, these things are unnatural, right? These are supernatural things that happen when we follow Jesus. When you follow Jesus, you will desire to live in unity and in community. John 17, 20. Not only will you know that partnership is the way to go about this, you will desire it. This was actually Jesus' prayer for us. John 17. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And if you follow Jesus, fear will not control you. Philippians 1:27. This is not talking about taking uncalled for, unnecessary risk to show off or to be thought of as a saint or be in a risk taker. But this still not risk for the true cause of Christ, that we are not stopped from doing what God has called us to do because of fear. We're not stopped from going and making disciples because we're afraid. There are many things that we're afraid of. We're afraid of the sacrifice. We're afraid of what it will cost us. We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of what people might think. All those things are fear. Those are fears that stop us. But when we are following Jesus, abiding in Him, then fear will not control us. Verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. If you follow Jesus, it will cost you everything. John 12:23. Then Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hated his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." And we could go on to, let's go to Matthew 10. Probably another one there. Anyone who loves his father, Matthew 10:37, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. If you follow Jesus, it will cost you everything, but you will gain Him, and you will gain all things. And Romans 12:1, of course, we've recently studied, of all of your bodies as living sacrifices in response to this grace that He has given you. So we have learned the mechanics of dealing with the self-life in Romans. We've gone over that in detail. But this pursuit of fulfilling self will overwhelm us if we are not following Christ, if we are not abiding. Do you think you're immune to that? You are not. I'm not immune to that. This pursuit of self and what satisfies me and what I think will satisfy me will overwhelm my life. It starts off small, but it will take over my life, and I can continue to talk Christian talk. I can continue to sing Christian songs. I can continue to hang out with Christians and be living for self. But when you follow Jesus, you will put those things to death. When you abide in Christ, then it will become natural. If you would follow Christ, you must believe. John 6:29. Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent." To believe, that is our work. To believe Him, to put our trust in Him. You know, to abide, you know, you've experienced that, haven't you? That where the stress seems to never go away. The conflict seems to never go away. Uneasiness seems to never go away. You can have a strain and stress in a relationship for years and years and years until you decide you're going to follow Christ. You're going to abide in Him. When you follow Christ, you must believe. When you follow Christ, when you follow Jesus, you will have hope and you can dream again. Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And Romans 15:13. You see, when you follow Jesus, even in the darkest hour, you can have hope. And you can dare to dream again if you're following Him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And Jesus says, come and follow me.